Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is page 38, daf Lamed Ches. We'll begin again on the bottom of Lamed Zayin, Amid Beis. Four lines from the bottom. Bishlama says the Gemara, I can understand Lamed Amar Moshav. Kol makom sha'atim yoshvim. Mashma. I understand if when it says Moshav, it means wherever you are living, even outside of Israel, and it doesn't mean after inheritance and settlement. So then, when the Jewish people came into the land of Israel, in terms of the law of Chadash, of not eating the new grain, that applied right away. You didn't have to wait until after inheritance. Right away, right when they came in. And they came in on the 10th of Nisan, as we will soon see. So, but there was the law of Chadash. So that's why the Torah says, that's what the Pasuk says in the book of Yoshua. They ate from the produce of the land on the second day of Pesach. After the first day, they ate on the morrow of the Pesach, on the 16th of Nisan. They didn't eat initially on the 10th of Nisan. Why didn't they eat on the 10th of Nisan? Because they had to first bring the karban Minchas HaOmer. They had to bring the karban mincha on the second day of Pesach, which permits the new grain. Alma, apparently, Akruv Omer. First they offered the karban Omer. Vahadar Achul, and then they ate. Why? Because they weren't allowed to eat before offering the karban Omer. Elamadama, but according to the opinion, that when it says Moshav, it doesn't mean after the settlement. But it means... I'm sorry, when it says Moshav, it doesn't mean all settlements, it means after the inheritance and settlement of the land, after 14 years. That the prohibition of Chadash only began after the Jews had been in the land for 14 years. Ask the Gemara, Nechol Alter. So let them eat the new grain right away. Right away, they haven't yet been there for 14 years. So they are allowed to eat the new grain. They don't need to wait until the offering of the Minchas HaOmer. They could have eaten the new grain already on the 10th of Nisan, or on the 11th, or on the 12th, on the 13th, on the 14th. Why are they waiting until the 16th? So Nechol Alter, they should have eaten right away. And so the Gemara reading, they could eat right away. They could have eaten right away. Because the prohibition of Chadash only begins after they've been in the land for 14 years. After they've inherited and settled in the land. That's the whole meaning of Moshav. So why did they eat the new grain right away? Why did they wait 6 days? Lo havu tzrichi. They didn't need to eat the new grain. Why? They still had man. When they came into the land of Israel, they still had containers with man that had fallen from heaven. Except for the very end. At the very end, the man fell, and it was good for a long time. It was good for 40 days at the very end. The pasuk says, "Uvnei Yisrael achlu es haman." The children of Israel ate the man arba'im shana for 40 years. Ad boam el eretz no shaves until they came to the land that was settled. Es haman achlu, they ate the man ad boam el ktzei eretz kanan. Until they came to the edge of the land of Canaan. So that's really a contradiction here. On the one hand, the verse says, they ate the man until they came to the settled land. That sounds like the land on the western side of the Jordan. Then it says, they ate the man until they came to the edge of the land of Canaan. That already sounds like the eastern side. The lands of Ammon, Moab, and Edom. Eretz Sichon v'Og. So, the Gemara explains, on the one hand, you can't say that they only ate the man. You can't say that they ate the man until they came to the settled land, to the western side of the Jordan. Because on the one hand, on the other hand, the verse says they ate the man until they came to the eastern side of the Jordan, to the edge of the land of Canaan. And you can't say that they came to the eastern side of the Jordan. Because it says that they ate the man until they came to the settled land, to the western side of the Jordan. Okay, so it means like this. Shiva ba'adar, in the seventh of Adar, Mes Moshe. Moshe Benu died. Upasak man mi le raid. And then the man stopped coming down. But they still kept eating it. Because that last rainfall of man stayed good for more than one day. Hayu mistakin mi man shebikleihem ad shisha asar benisan. They could eat that man for 40 days till the 16th of Nisan. It lasted. Okay, that's right. Tanya Yidachunit and another Bryce.
So they entered Eretz Yisrael the day after Moshe died?
33 days later.
33 days later.
Right.
So the man didn't fall after Moshe Rabbeinu died. But
nope.
It just stayed fresh.
Stayed fresh in their utensils. Oh. Tanya Yidach, we were taught in another Bryce. The verse says, "Uvnei Yisrael achlu asaman 40 shana." The Jewish people ate the man for 40 years. V'chi 40 shana achlu? Did they eat the man for 40 years? V'alo 40 shana chaser 30 yom achlu? They only ate the man for 40 years minus 30 days. Why? Because when did the man came down? The man only first came down on the 15th of Iyar. After they were finished with food. So they're missing 30 days, and they ate until the 16th of Nisan. This tells you, the dough that they took out of Egypt, which didn't rise, which we had as the matzah, the original matzah, ta'amu bahem ta'aman, that had the same taste as the man. They ate man for 40 years. Because those first 30 days, from the 15th of Nisan until the 15th of Iyar, when they were eating the matzahs, the lafas, it tasted like man. Then they had man coming down, which came down until the 7th of Adar. And then it stayed good until the second day of Pesach. Tanya Yidachunit in another braisa. B'shiva ba'adar meis Moshe. On the 7th of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu died. B'shiva ba'adar nolad. Moshe also was born on the 7th of Adar. How do we know that he died on the 7th of Adar? Because the verse says, "Vayamasha Moshe Eved Hashem," and Moshe, the slave of God, died there. And the verse says, "Vayivku bnei Yisrael es Moshe bi'arvos Moav shloshim yom," and the children of Israel cried for Moshe's loss for 30 days. And it says, "Vayachrei Moshe." So it says after the death of Moshe Eved Hashem. Then Hashem talks to Yoshua, and then Hashem tells Yoshua, "Moshe, avdi meis. Moshe, my servant is dead. V'ata, and now kumavor, get up and cross the Jordan. Uksiv ivru bekerav hamachana, go through the camp. V'tzivu etam leimor, and tell the people, command them, saying, kachinu lachem tzeda, prepare for yourselves provisions. Kibod shloshet yamim tavru et hayadin. In 3 days you will cross the Jordan." And then it says, "Va'am alumina yardain ba'asor lachodesh arishon." The people got up out of the Jordan on the 10th of Nisan. Today would be the 10th. Today's Monday. Friday night is the 14th. Today is the 10th. Today is the 10th of Nisan. Right? Uksiv, and it says, "Va'am alumina yardain ba'asor lachodesh arishon," and the people came out of the Jordan on the 10th of the first month. Say mehen shloshim u'shloshi yamim l'mafreya. So now you have to subtract 30 days from it going backwards, right? Because Moshe died, and they mourned for 30 days. Then Hashem told Yoshua, get the people going, and Yoshua goes through the camp and says, "In 3 days we're leaving." So 3 days plus 30 is 33 days. 33 days back from the 10th of Nisan. That tells you that on the 7th of Adar, Moshe died. If he would have died on the 10th of Adar, it would be 30 days back. But if it's 33 days back, that means he died on the 7th of Adar. How do we know that on the 7th of Adar, Moshe was born? As the verse says, "Vayomer aleihem," and Moshe tells them, "Ben mea ve'asim shana anochi hayom." I'm 120 years old today. Today I complete 120 years. I'm no longer able to come in and to go out. Shein tamu lomer ayom. Why do you say today? Ma tamu lomer ayom. Malamech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosef v'malish nosem shel tzadikim yom liyom. Why did it say I'm 120 years old today? Should have just said I'm 120 years old. He said, I'm 100 years old, 20 years old today because God fills in every single day for the tzaddikim. They die in the day in which they were born. Chodesh to chodesh, and from month to month, as the verse says, es mispar yamecha amalei, the number of your days I will fill. Okay. So that resolved that question. So either the reason why they had to wait till the 16th of Nisan to eat the new grain was because right when they entered, they were obligated in Chadash. So they couldn't eat until the offering was offered. And that would mean that Moshav doesn't mean after settlement. It means wherever you're living. Or they had to wait till the 16th because really they were not obligated. They would only be obligated 14 years after they had entered, after they had settled the land. But the reason why they waited for the 16th was because they had mud. And since they were still eating mud, they didn't need to eat anything else. Tanya, we looked at a braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Shalosh mitzvos nitztavu Yisrael b'knisasan la'aretz. There were three mitzvos that the Jews were commanded right when they entered the land, before they settled the land. Those three mitzvos are the law of chadash, not to eat the new grain, the law of arla, that the produce of a tree from its first 3 years is prohibited, ukil'ayim, and the prohibition of eating grapes from a vineyard in which wheat is growing. V'noah goes, and these mitzvos apply, bein baretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz, both in the land of Israel and outside of the land of Israel. V'huadin sheyinagu, and it is logical that they should apply. And it's derived from Chadash. Chadash, the new grain, the Torah says Moshav. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is of the opinion that Moshav doesn't mean after settlement, namely after 14 years, but Moshav means wherever you are living, even outside of Israel. And therefore, Uma Chadash ein isur isur olam. The prohibition of the new grain is not forever, right? Come the 16th of Nisan and the Minchas Omer is offered, the new grain becomes permitted. Even when it is prohibited, it's not prohibited for enjoyment. And on the 16th, it's going to become permitted. Yet, it applies in the land of Israel and applies outside of the land of Israel because of the word Moshav. So therefore, kil'ayim, the prohibition of grapes that are growing with wheat. If you had grapes growing with wheat, that's prohibited forever. The Isuran Isuran Na'an, you're not even allowed to get benefit from those grapes. They inheter li Isuran, and it never becomes permitted. Eino din she yinhag, bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. So it's simple logic that it should apply both in the land and outside of the land. V'ura din la'orla b'shtayim, and orla also has two of these aspects. Orla is prohibited in benefit, and you can't permit orla. But orla is not forever, because come the fourth year, the stuff is no longer orla, what grows in the fourth year. That was what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said. However, his own son, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, said something else. He said, "Kol mitzvah shenitztav Yisrael, kol dem knisasan la'aretz, no hagos bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz." Those commandments that Jews had to fulfill while in the desert, before we even enter the land of Israel, namely that commandments that are on a person's body, like putting on tefillin or shaking a lulav, apply in Israel and outside of Israel. However, the mitzvos that they only had to start fulfilling once after they entered the land, because these are land-based mitzvos, Eina no heges ela ba'aretz. It only applies in the land. What are the exceptions? Chutz. What are the exceptions of mitzvahs that only started once we entered the land and nevertheless apply in the land and out of the land? Chutz min hashmatat ksafim. The mitzvah that a lender at the end of Shemitah is to forgive the loans owed to him. V'shiluach avadim. And the mitzvah that a slave is to be sent free with the arrival of Yovel. The Jewish slave is sent free during the Yovel year. Even though these are mitzvahs that did not apply in the desert, they only applied once we entered the land of Israel. No haggas, they apply bein baretz, bein b'chutz laretz, both in the land of Israel and outside the land of Israel. So the Gemara is about to challenge you. Why would these mitzvos not apply in the desert? These are obligations on the person. Ask the Gemara, Hashmatas Ksafim, that a lender at the end of Shemitah needs to forgive a loan. Chovas Hagufi, that's an obligation on a person's body. It's nothing to do with the land. So that should be applying in the desert. And of course, it should be applying all over. Lo Nitzricha Elikidetanya. The answer is based on the following brisa. Titanya, we were taught in a brisa. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe explained the verse about forgiving loans, says, quote, Vized Vara Shemitah. This is the matter of Shemitah, Shamot, let go. So the verse mentions the word Shamot, letting go, Shemitah twice. Bishtei Shemitos HaKosim Medaber. The verse is linking to Shemitos. Acha Shemitas Karka. One is letting go of the land and not working the land. Not planting, not plowing. V'acha Shemitas Ksafin. And the other letting go is letting go of loans, of money. And it's to tell you the following, Bizman Shatam Shamit Karka, at a time when you let go of land, Atam Shamit Ksafim, that's when you have the mitzvah to let go of money. Bizman Shiatam Shamit Karka, at a time when you're not letting go of land, Yatam Shamit Ksafim. So that's why when we were in the desert, and we didn't have the land of Israel yet. We didn't have the mitzvah of letting go of land. We had no mitzvah of don't do agriculture on the seventh year. So then we didn't have the mitzvah to let go of loans. When we entered the land of Israel and we started to have the mitzvah of Shemitat Karka, letting go of the land, not working the land on the seventh year, we were also obligated to let go of the loans for the money that we had lent out. However, this mitzvah applies not once we enter the land. It's not just in the land. It applies outside of the land as well.
So the first 14 years it applied, or they're not
yes.
sure?
Yes, yeah, it applied the first 14 years. So the Gemara asks, but if you're linking the forgiving of loans to not working the land, so then why does Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say it applies all over? Ema, why don't you, and say this is the exception. This is the one, this is one of the two mitzvahs that only started once we entered the land, but apply all over. Ema, why don't you say, once you have the linkage of the pasuk, that b'makom shata meshamed karka, in a place where you let the land rest, ata meshamed ksafim, in that place, you have to forgive loans. U'b'makom she'en ata meshamed karka, but in the place, namely outside of Eretz Yisrael, where you don't have to let the land rest, ein ata meshamed ksafim, you also don't have to forgive loans. Tamalomar. So for that, the pasuk says, Ki karash Shemitah LaHashem, for he will call out Shemitah to God. So that's a very inclusive phrase. That means that Shemitah's Ksafim, forgiving loans, applies Mikol Makom, wherever a person is and wherever he might call out to God. Then, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon said, the second mitzvah, that, even though only started, once we entered the land, applies all over, is Shiluach Avadim, is the mitzvah that in Yovel, send the Eved Ivri, send the Jewish slave free. Ask the Gemara, why wouldn't that apply outside of Israel? In the desert, Chovas HaGufi, it's an obligation on the body. They should have been doing it even before they got into the land of Israel. Sa'akadai Dachamina would have thought to say, Ho'il, Uksiv, since it says, Ukraz, I'm sorry, of course it applies all over. Of course it applies all over, because it's an obligation on the body. Says the Gemara, I would have thought to say, oh, Uksiv, since it says, Ukraz, Sem, Dror, Baharetz, and declare freedom in the land. I would have thought that means, Baharetz, in, you declare freedom in the land. Bechutz, Laretz, lo, you don't declare freedom outside of the land. Tam Aloma, that's what we have to have again, an inclusive phrase. Yovel, he, it is Jubilee year. Mikom, Akom, wherever. Imkein, if so, matam aloma ba'aretz. Why does it say declare freedom in the land? It's to say bizman shadrar noig ba'aretz, noig b'chutz la'aretz. When you have freedom in the land, it applies outside of the land. However, ein dror noig ba'aretz, if you don't have freedom in the land of Israel, eino noig b'chutz la'aretz, and you don't have freedom outside the land of Israel. And that's why we don't have the concept of Eved Ivri nowadays. We can't purchase a Jewish Eved Ivri. Since we don't have Yovel, so there's no freedom in the land, there can't be any freedom outside of the land, and there can't be the concept of Eved Ivri at all. we have Shemitah Midrabanan, correct. Okay, so now let's go back to the interesting topics of Orla and Kilayim outside of the land of Israel. Tanan Hassan, we lived in a Mishnah in Mesechet Orla. Ha-chadash asur min ha-Torah b'chol makom. The new grain is prohibited from the Torah everywhere, even outside of Israel. This Mishnah is of the opinion when the Torah says Moshvoseichem, it doesn't mean after inheritance and settlement, rather it means wherever you are living. So even we who live in Englewood, New Jersey, this Mishnah is of the opinion, have to, or are only allowed to eat yashan, old grain, not chadash, the new grain. Orla, the produce of a tree of its first 3 years, that it's prohibited, not only with eating, but even in benefit, that is a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, that is a derivation that God told Moshe, an oral tradition that it applies outside of the land of Israel. Kilayim, that the cross-breeded produce is prohibited outside of Israel, is midivrei sofrim. That's from the words of the sages. That is a din d'rabbanan. My halacha, what does it mean in this Mishnah that Orla is a halacha? Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Hilchasa Medina. It means it's a law of what they've accepted upon themselves. It's a rabbinic law. Ulam Rav Yochanan, what I said, when it said halacha, it means it's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. It's a biblical law that Hashem told Moshe at Sinai. So an argument here, how do we understand this law that you can't have Orla, even though it's Orla from outside of Israel? Is it a rabbinic law, or is it a biblical law, which is an oral tradition, a halacha l'moshe misinai? Amalei Ula, who said it's a biblical law, halacha l'moshe misinai, said to Rav Yehuda, Bishmol didi, now my approach, that chadash, outside of Israel is prohibited, midoraisa, the word Moshe Seichem. Orla outside of Israel is prohibited, midoraisa, from halacha l'moshe misinai. But kilayi akerem are prohibited outside of Israel, only midrabanan. So my approach, damin halacha l'moshe misinai, explains the following. Haini d'shani lan bein safek orla l'safek kilayim. That can explain why there's a difference in regards to outside of Israel produce, between outside of Israel items that may be kilayim and outside of Israel items that may be orla. That's not related in a Mishnah. Safek orla. Let's say someone's selling fruit. You don't know where the fruit came from. Maybe it's orla. Ba'aretz asur. In the land of Israel, you can't eat it. Bisuria in Syria, which is right next to the land of Israel, mutar, it's permitted. B'chutzlar, it's past Syria. Not only is it mutar, but yorei v'lokeach. You can go to a field where you know there's orla in that field. And you know the non-Jew picks from his orla trees. As long as you didn't see him pick it, you can say, I'm not sure, maybe this isn't orla, and you can buy it. Or will eventually you interlocate. You can't see the non-Jew picking the orla, because maybe he took from the trees that weren't orla. However, Yilugabe Kilayim, in regards to Kilayim, Tanan the Mishnah says, Kerem anatua yerek, a vineyard that has a vegetable in it, the yerek nimkar chutzalo, and there are vegetables being sold outside of the vineyard. Baaretz asur, in the land of Israel, you can't buy these vegetables, because maybe they're from this vineyard. Besuria mutar, in Syria, you are allowed to buy it. And then the area even further away, B'chutz al-Aretz, Yored v'lokate, you could go, and the non-Jew can go and pick these vegetables for you. U'bavach l'yilkot b'yat, you yourself can't pick it by hand, but he can pick it for you. So you see that the law of Kilayi Akerem outside of Israel is more lenient than the law of Orla outside of Israel. Now, why should one be more lenient than the other? But if you say that Orla outside of Israel is Halach L'Moshe Misinai, and Kilayi Akerem outside of Israel is a Din D'Rabbanan, I can understand why one would be more lenient than the other. But if they're both Dinim D'Rabbanan, then Eladidach, if they're according to you, they're both Asr Midrabanan. So then it should either be Nisni, it should either say O Zeh V'Zeh Yorid V'Lokeach, that in both he can go and he can buy, but he can't see the non-Jew picking it. O Zeh V'Zeh, or in both Yorid V'Lokeach, he can even see the non-Jew picking it, so long as he didn't pick it himself. That when the rabbis prohibited Orla or Kelayim outside of Israel, they only prohibited the Jew himself making the Orla, the Jew himself making the Kelayim, but not if the non-Jew is the one doing it. Okay, we'll stop here.